Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom Tangney here. John's away today, officially. And Sherry Elliker is filling in, as she is often doing these days. It's great to have you on board, Sherry, this time with a little more notice.
Well, thank you. I'm always happy to be here, Tom. Thank you for having me.
So, we have an interesting Seattle mayor's race. We're in the midst of a campaign between a former council president, Bruce Harrell, and a present council president, Lorena Gonzalez. And Como News, Matt Markovich got an interview with Bruce Harrell, one of the candidates, and he asked a very provocative and intriguing question. Let's hear.
And that, for me, I'm done. Can't do it.
Former Chief Carmen Best could not lay off officers the city council demanded a year ago, so she resigned.
When it's time, it's time.
But she could come back.
One of your most important hires, if you become mayor, will be that of police chief. Would you ask Carmen Best to come back?
So Carmen and I have had many discussions, and I don't want to, as the expression we say, is put her on Front Street. But I will say that what the city council did do, I thought, was I thought that was poor form.
It was the height of the protests. Police had abandoned the East Precinct. There was CHOP, a call to defund police by 50%, and the council wanted to cut her salary by 40%.
It just felt very vindictive and very punitive.
As an African-American woman that had faced so much, I think, unfairness in her life, that understood the plea and demands of community, that also understand the need for effective policing, and I think she's a leader.
We wanted to ask the same question to Harrell's challenger, Lorena Gonzalez, but she canceled our scheduled interview with her, and her campaign has not given us a rescheduled date.
She did tell the Seattle Times in June, "I think the department could benefit from an external candidate," and told the Northwest Progressive Institute, "I am looking for a candidate who is willing to challenge the status quo from within, someone who's not afraid to say no."
You basically gave a positive assessment of Chief Best. What about Adrian Diaz?
There are a lot of decisions that I just read about in the newspaper that I scratch my head on. And I am not seeing the kind of transitional leadership.
Adrian Diaz has been the interim police chief since Carmen Best left and has indicated he liked the job. Now he may know his former chief could be his competition if Bruce Harrell becomes mayor.
And so we've had many conversations throughout my campaign, and I rely on her for advice, and I'll sort of leave it at that.
So I know you've come on board the Cairo station wagon relatively recently, so you probably weren't around for the Carmen Best years as a Seattle police chief. But she's had a really storied career here, Sherry. She started off, in fact, that's why so many of us in the media know her well. She used to be the flack for the Seattle Police Department. She was very easy to deal with. She's been on the force for 28 years, got a really easy personality to deal with, you know, in terms of press relations and the like. And she eventually became head of the police department and she was indeed in charge under the most extreme times for the Seattle Police Department during the last summer, during all of the social justice protests and the CHOP incident, the abandonment of the East Precinct. So she was really at the eye of the storm through so much of this. And I thought she really had played her kind of political cards well. She, up in the middle of all this, said, fine, if you are really going to be that, dismissive of the work of the Seattle Police Department, I'm out of here. And she just sort of up and left without much warning. I thought it was quite an effective power move on her part. And now I think it's brilliant of Bruce Harrell to kind of float the possibility. And I give Matt Markovich full credit for asking the question, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Harrell campaign isn't, you know, pleased as punch about this idea that maybe Carmen Best could come back. It's a Bruce Harrell represents something of a return of the old guard, and I think a lot of people in Seattle would see that as a reassuring sign, because as demonized as the Seattle Police Department might have been this past year or this past summer of a protest, the year before this last one, she is really hard to demonize. Carmen Best, just as her, you know, just as a person, And I think this is a brilliant political move on Bruce Harrell's part to reintroduce her as a possible police chief. What do you think of all this?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and I have a couple questions for you. Do you think, Tom, that she would be able to return and do the job without any bitterness towards the city council?
No.
That's what I thought. So
No.
I mean,
it's clear. I mean, she has the city council in her sights. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Lorena Gonzalez is the I'm pretty sure she is still the council president, and she's running for mayor. And she was part of the defund Seattle police movement. She represents the most progressive wing of the city council. Bruce Harrell is somebody who had been he was a longtime council member and stepped down before the recent social activism days. And I think that if Bruce Harrell is elected mayor, that might be seen as a sign that Seattle is ready to kind of sort of a little retrenchment, maybe, that they're willing to sort of stay back and say, okay, maybe we overreacted, maybe we went too far. That, at least, I think it would be the political calculation. Right now, in fact, we might as well mention this. The city council, there are not a lot of seats up. Lorena Gonzalez's seat is up, and there is, it's a battle between, I guess, a progressive Democrat and a moderate Democrat, for want of a better word. And right now, the moderates tend to be doing better. There's actually a Republican, yes, a Republican in Seattle running for city attorney who is running against an abolitionist Democrat, so a very progressive Democrat when it comes to city attorney work. And right now, according to the poll, and again, as Stuart Elway of the Elway Poll Service says, this is just a snapshot in time, it's not a prediction, but the moderate candidates in those three races tend to be the ones that are ahead right now. The latest poll with Bruce Harrell and Lorena Gonzalez, Bruce Harrell has 42% support, 27% support for Lorena Gonzalez, so a significant difference there. And still, 25% of the electorate is undecided. So it's still up in the air, but right now it looks like the city is leaning more moderate. If that happens to be the case, Carmen Best might feel reassured. Now, there's still a majority of the council that I think would be on the council that was voting to defund it. And by the way, again, I'm just sort of filling you in since I know you weren't here for a lot of this. The call for 50% was quickly cut, and I think it's now down to something like 14% in their, you know, Seattle police funds and all this. So there's been kind of a backing away of the height of the anger at the Seattle Police Department funding. We'll still see. It's going to be a battle for Seattle. But my guess is if those three moderate positions come out ahead and Bruce Harrell is elected mayor, Carmen Best might feel like she's willing to forgive and forget if Seattle is willing to forgive and forget. That would be my prediction at this point, at least.
Do you think that Lorena Gonzalez will keep Adrian Diaz as the would she promote him from not being the interim chief, but to be the chief if she gets in?
Okay, now, to be fair to Lorena Gonzalez, she didn't do an interview with Como, so all we have are, as Markovich mentioned in his report, we have things that she said in other interview situations, and it seems pretty clear to me, the writing on the wall is that Adrian Diaz is not going to be the police chief permanently because Bruce Harrell, my guess is right now, and this might be just a false hunch, but that he would name his good friend Carmen Best back as the chief if she's willing to come back. And I know she's sort of moved on, but I think her ties are still strong. And the comment that Lorena Gonzalez had about who should be the next police chief, her suggestion was that it should come from outside, an external source. So my hunch is, and she hasn't named anyone that she would appoint, but my hunch is that Adrian Diaz would be maybe a fallback possibility. But it didn't sound like either candidate is saying, wow, you know, Mr. Diaz, you've been done such a great job. We want you to stay in place. So I would be surprised if that was the end result.
It reminds me of when there was a new mayor in Baltimore, and they went to a nationwide search for a new police commissioner is what they call it there.
Sure.
And the other one, the other police commissioners, there was like three or four in a row that all either got ousted or arrested. I'm not kidding. Within like a year. So they did this exhaustive search and they found a guy that was from New Orleans. And they paid him like $250 a year, which is very high for Baltimore. And he came in and nothing has gotten better since he's been there. And it was the problem was they really didn't need to have somebody external. They needed to have someone on the inside track that knew the city, that understood the city, that had a history with it. So I'm wondering if Seattle is a little bit like that, that to have somebody from the outside come in may not fit as well as somebody that's been at the job like Carmen Best, who knows it.
Yeah.
If she can get past some of the, you know, the resentment that she's got to feel for what happened before.
Well, since you're an outsider, I'll throw this into the mix. The irony of this is that we did a big nationwide search. Jenny Durkin, I'm pretty sure was the mayor at the time. And they came up with their three finalists. They were all outsiders. And there was such cry and hue about, what about Carmen Best? She's our own. She's grown up here with us. You know, everyone gets, you know, likes her. How dare you? And so, they did a lot of backpedaling and, they said, you know what? That's a good point. We are going to include Carmen Best in the mix. Even though she didn't make the final three, they included her in the final four, and son of a gun if they didn't name her chief after all. And the front runner, who had been kind of, tipped off in the press as being the front runner, he ended up taking an advisory role and then disappearing. I don't even know whatever happened to him. So there's a lot of wrangling within the Seattle Police Department. A lot of people, you know, may love Carmen Best. Others may not. But there's not only wrangling within the police department. There's wrangling within the corridors of power in City Hall and all that. So it's kind of a messy situation. She got in kind of a messy fashion and then left in a kind of messy fashion. And I think it would be a feather in her cap if she could come back and kind of restore to dignity the Seattle Police Department's reputation. We'll see if that ever happens. But again, just politically, I think it's a really smart move on Bruce Harrell's part. Listen, just because I'm such a fan of The Wire and you mentioned Baltimore, I've got to say that the corruption business that you were referencing doesn't surprise me. How does The Wire, if you haven't seen The Wire, it's one of the greatest HBO series ever about all sorts of intrigue with the police department and every other civic institution in Baltimore. What's Baltimore's take on it? Do they kind of roll their eyes going, yeah, that's not us? Or do they say, wow, that is spot on?
Oh, it's spot on. Everybody agrees. Everybody does. Everybody thinks it is completely sort of an inside scoop on what really happens.
Yep.
But they resent it in a way because they don't want Baltimore to always be portrayed that way. So that's the general impression. But it's the truth. I mean, it really is. It's a very corrupt city. It's been that way for years and years and probably will never change. Although I will say I've never seen more well-intended people there. You know, there's been so many people that have tried to make a difference and that have tried to change things and to help with everything from crime to the opioid crisis to homelessness to poverty. And it just the needle just doesn't move. So I think it's one of the many cities in this country that have to deal with those types of things. And there are a lot of people that really try very hard, but it just doesn't go away. Just doesn't get any better.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think Seattle doesn't suffer so much from corruption as competence issues, I think, would be the we don't have that kind of a East Coast flair for corruption. I'm sure there is, there are plenty of examples. But in general, it's more, the question of can we do what we want to do and are we of the same mind? So anyway, that's an update on the mayor's race. I do think it's interesting, too. Lorena Gonzalez says clearly she has a lot of union support. She has a lot lot of minority community support, but she is avoiding some mainstream interviews. Now, I know that Jean Ursula's show has been trying to get her on, you know, beforehand and before the primary and then after the primary. I don't think she's appeared there. She hasn't. She declined to do a Cuomo interview or has not arranged one yet. I think it might be her decision that maybe, you know, more mainstream, you know, venues are not where her strengths lie. But right now, I think that Lorena Gonzalez could be in trouble. If she has a 15-point spread, and there's a 5%, you know, a margin of error, but if she's down that far, she's really got to pick up her campaign. Now, we're still a good, you know, month and a half away from Election Day, but still, that's sort of the writing on the wall I see at this point.
And, okay, and Bruce Harrell has a lot more money, right? I mean, he's
yes.
got a considerable
Interesting.
More fundraising.
Yes. No, he has. Interestingly enough for us, because I, you know, I'm a longtime Seattleite and I've known Bruce, I've interviewed him before and all this. I didn't realize how individually, personally wealthy he happens to be too, because he's always, you know, he came up, he was an early union guy, and he's come up from, you know, I don't know if you'd call it the school of hard knocks, but he's certainly not, you know, he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he has done quite well for himself, he and his wife. And it is interesting now to see someone from the outside like Bruce Harrell once was now be seen as the insider candidate or the traditional candidate. And again, just to give you, Sherry, some perspective, we tend to, Jenny Durkin, who I was a big fan of, by the way, I think she's a really bright, she was our U.S. attorney, really sharp. She ran against a much more liberal, activist, progressive type. I think Carrie Moon, I think was her name. And the city voted for Durkin. My hunch is that the Durkin forces are probably aligning themselves with the Bruce Harrell forces, not literally, but just in terms of the tendency that Seattle likes to think of themselves as very progressive, very progressive, but then at some point that's a little too progressive and they pull back a bit. Bruce Harrell, like Jenny Durkin, has more of the support of the business community than Lorena Gonzalez has. But Lorena Gonzalez has a lot of strong union support, so I wouldn't count her out with 25% still undecided. But right now, Bruce Harrell looks like he's in a strong position. We'll just put it that way.
Yep,
okay, enough of Seattle city politics. Let's look at something that's always bothering us, traffic, and see if we can figure out a way to get home easily tonight. Tracy? You're listening to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom Tangney here, John Curly away, Sherry Elicker filling in. So in case you are just tuning in, the big news story of the day locally here is that King County, including Seattle and the King County Health Officer, just announced that by October 25th, most areas of entertainment outside of 500 people or more, so all the sporting events, and indoors, you will need to have proof of vaccination or proof of a recent negative COVID test in order to enter. It goes into effect October 25th, and it's clearly going to raise the profile of King County in the country's sort of stance toward dealing with the COVID vaccine controversy. So I think we'll move on to another story that both Sherry and I found unbelievably intriguing, even though it has no local ramifications. The story itself is so crazy. There's so many twists and turns that we thought we'd be doing a disservice to our listeners if we didn't bring it up. It involves somebody named Alex Murdaugh, who is unknown, I would assume, to most of us here in the Northwest, but he's apparently a very high-profile attorney in South Carolina. A lot of people know him. He's a incredibly sort of almost a celebrity status in terms of the legal profession in that particular state in South Carolina. And some really awful things have been happening. We've got some audio to try to start giving this story some incredible context.
First of all, a little background here. Alex Murdaugh, very powerful lawyer, came from a very legally prominent family that was the district attorney for decades in a very rural part of South Carolina. They have a lot of money. And then comes the revelation of his wife and son were murdered, brutally so, on their property back in June. The question was, well, who could have done it and why? Was there a connection to the law passed of that family? And then the next thing you know, Alex Murdoch had been let go from his own family law firm under allegations that he had stolen millions of dollars. And then on top of that, he also admitted to a longtime battle with opioid addiction.
Okay, so that's just the setup. Here's the next bit.
Okay, then September 4th. After all of that has come to life, he says he's changing a tire at the side of the road due to a leak, and some man pulls up with a pickup truck, talks to him briefly, and then shoots him in the head. Well, now we find out that all of that, what looked like attempted murder, was actually a conspiracy. And that Alex Murdoch now has admitted to South Carolina's law enforcement division that it was a plan for hiring this man to shoot him in the head, to kill him, so that then he could have his family collect on the life insurance. I'll just read this brief statement from SLED in the arrest warrant. They say Mr. Murdoch provided a statement to SLED admitting to the scheme of having Mr. Smith, that's Curtis Smith, murder him for the purpose of his son collecting a life insurance policy valued at approximately $10 million. The plan unraveled, of course, because Alex Murdoch did not die. He wasn't killed by being shot in the head. Instead, he was taken to the hospital and he was released 2 days later.
We're listening to CNN's Martin Savage recount this tale, and now more questions remain unanswered.
So he has now apparently admitted the insurance fraud scheme to law enforcement. But the question on everyone's minds is, if he lied about something like this, could he also be lying about something as important and as tragic as the deaths of his wife and son?
And then, just to complicate things even further, they're now looking into the death of his housekeeper. There was a housekeeper in the Murtaugh family for two decades who had a trip and fall accident, and she died. When they decided to look at the announcement of death, the cause was deemed natural. As someone said, you don't naturally die if you trip and fall, and so there's even more murder suspicions on his plate. Now, none of this may be fair to him, except for the fact that because of his admission that he was staging something so dramatic as his own death as a kind of a way to avoid suicide, voiding the insurance payout to his son, it feels gothic in its overtones to me, Sherry. Just an amazing possibility to look at.
Right. And as they would say on an infomercial, wait, there's more. Apparently,
right.
in addition to the trip and fall murder, there's also a young man by the name of Stephen Smith. They didn't go into any details about that, but he also has some sort of suspicious death. And his son, Paul, who was murdered with the wife, was involved in a boating accident back in 2019 where he killed a young woman who was 19 and he got charged with boating while intoxicated. So the list of things that are going on with this family is just unbelievable in terms of just the amount of death and destruction and horrible stuff that's happening. One thing that I thought was interesting is this man that was accused admitted, I guess now, that he conspired to kill him. He was charged with assisted suicide. Does that seem odd to you? I mean, it just seems like a weird charge to me, assisted suicide, because it wasn't really, he didn't die. But the whole thing is just convoluted and twists and turns. And you just wonder, what are they going to uncover next about this family?
It just shows you the depth of, I don't want to say depravity, because I don't really know how much maybe his addiction played into it, but the depths to which humanity, you know, can go under extreme circumstances. To me, I found this story incredibly compelling when I first just heard the surface, which was what? Well, this guy arranged for his own murder because he wanted to protect his son, and he didn't feel like he could do that because he had a lot of financial difficulties coming down the pike. The kind of the self-sacrifice sacrifice that a father would make for the son. That, to me, is a rich enough topic for a book or a movie or, you know, an in-depth magazine article. And instead, that just barely scratches the surface. We'll be following this, obviously. It's got TV movie written all over it, if not a major Hollywood production. But there's so much potential. And, of course, none of this other speculation make turn out to be the case. It might be that he was so depressed by the death, the murder of his wife and kid and his housekeeper and everything else that this it's all about the opioid addiction. But right now, investigators see this as a wide open case. So at least now, if you hear the name Alex Murdaugh, you'll know what's going on. Yep. Okay, it's time to turn to Tracy with hopefully some more upbeat news on the road this afternoon. A nice kind of a sauntering music introducing our show.
I feel almost like a little tropical, huh?
Yes. Well, I guess this is a good music. By the way, you're listening to Tom and Curly Show. Sherry Ellicott filling in for John today. This is a pretty upbeat, lightweight story, so maybe that's more appropriate, that kind of a... I don't know what would be, not even Hawaiian, but just sort of this relaxed feel. And that is something that has been announced, and we just wanted to take note of that the All-Star Game, the baseball's All-Star Game, which hasn't been here since 2001, is coming back to Seattle in 2023. Larry Stone, a longtime sports reporter and now columnist for the Seattle Times, did a really nice piece talking about how the timing, at least the way it looks, could not be better. Right now, this, Sherry, I don't know if you follow baseball at all or if you're deeply steeped in it, but the Seattle Mariners have been lousy for a good 20 years, ever since, in fact, as Larry Stone points out, literally that year, the 2001 year that we had the All-Star Game, was probably the zenith, the height the Mariners had ever risen to. We had the most wins of any team in history, tied with the most of the 116 wins and all that. And ever since then, no one knew it at the time, but we were in a decline. We started to decline the very next year. And he says, isn't this perfect? This year, the Mariners are doing better than I can, you know, than recent memory. I think we came within a game or two of the playoffs a few years ago with Felix Hernandez. But basically, right now, the fact that we are still in the hunt for a wild card position this late in the season is truly remarkable and wonderful. And Larry Stone says, if we stay on the kind of pace and show the promise that we have this year, in the next 2 years, we might beat again at another zenith, and it would be a perfect celebration. He's convinced that Seattle is a baseball town. It's been tough to be a baseball fan these last 20 years. And he says he thinks that given how the record crowds we had back in the day, that this will be a harbinger. And as he says, like all baseball fans, all sports fans, you can always dream, you can always hope that maybe baseball's best to come in Seattle in July of 23. That moment will have arrived. It's fun when we get kind of the big national tribute. Now, obviously, it'd be better if we could win a World Series or be able to host a few World Series games. We haven't gotten too close to that. So we here in Seattle are quite excited, especially those of us around long enough that we can remember it. We realize an entire generation has been born and grown up in the time since the Mariners made the playoffs. How excited are you?
I am. I think it's great. And I think that the All-Star Game might be the good luck charm that the Mariners need, because let's face it, that happened 22 years ago, right? So it's possible that maybe it would have happened 22 years ago. So maybe this is the year, or that's going to be the year that they bring it home and you get the whole enchilada. The All-Star Game, they do great. Everybody's happy.
That would be fantastic. We've hit a little bump in the road. We had a big homestand. We didn't do too well in the last, six games. But still, we're not out of it yet, and that's good enough for us right now. And maybe in 2 years we'll be celebrating. In fact, you ought to come on out and go see a game with John and I. Then that would be terrific.
If we really are that good. Having lived in Baltimore, the Orioles were, quite a big deal until they weren't. So
That's right.
I do understand that.
Baltimore at least has had a few great seasons in its historic belt. We've never been there, but still, something to look forward to, and no one can rain on our parade just yet. Except maybe Tracy.